Time to catch up with Dave Renicky from DaveRenicky.com. He's the man who knows everything in the sky. David, hello. We had this happen since the last time we chatted, mate, that Chinese rocket that fell out of the sky. It sort of, well, it almost was like Skylab again, but it wasn't. It sort of didn't have the big hoo-ha that Skylab did.
Now, the whole world watched that, Bill. I think maybe if you were glued to a set, you would have seen the concern right around the world of where this thing's going to actually drop, where it's going to fall. But luckily, it had a good ending to it. It turned out it fell in the ocean near the Maldives.
Did I hear that it was a couple of days ago, it actually got flying over Sydney about 11 o'clock at night and then sort of shot past?
I don't know. It made a lot of passes over our area. And in the last 12 hours or so, it was coming very close to Perth. It went over Perth and then over Tasmania. They were tracking it, but look, this shows you the absolute, cavalier attitude that China have got to their activities in space. Not the first time they've done something like that. But the problem we've got is this is not a tiny piece of equipment. We're talking about something that's same size as the Statue of Liberty.
That's what I'm hearing, where the American rockets break up into little pieces and burn off. These Chinese ones sort of remain massive. They don't sort of disintegrate into something smaller, do they?
Yeah, the idea behind the problem with this is that the booster didn't drop off and fall into the ocean like it should have. It remained burning and went into orbit there. Now, being in orbit, it got into a tumble, and that tumble made it lose its directional stability. So there was no way of steering it. It was up to the lap of the gods where it was going to end up.
Yeah.
So it circled the Earth every 90 minutes, moving at 8K a second. The problem is if you take an estimation on where it is, and where it's going and try and plot its course there. Whenever you write those those details down, it's moved 8 kilometres in that time.
Yeah, it's very quick.
So you're looking at something about 35 metres high and about 3 to 5 metres wide. I mean, this thing coming down in a populated area, can you imagine the diplomatic problem you've got with this?
Look, I don't think China would care if it happened, to be honest with you. And with this potential war between us and China, if it happened to land in Australia, we'd probably just go, oh, well, no worries,
Well, there's an arrogance there. And
yeah.
That arrogance, as soon as you criticise them or something, they take exception to it and think you're having a go at them. But look, it really does need control. The sad part about this story is this is only the one of 10 flights they're going to make.
Yeah.
There are another 9 they're going to try at the same time. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. See, the booster went into orbit, and being in orbit there, as I say, it followed the Earth around in a circle like the space station did, you know?
Incredible.
So we've got a situation where this was it could have dropped anywhere.
Good.
And if it did, you would have had the same scenario as a 747 coming down over any populated city.
Yeah, imagine if Skylab had done that in the 70s, it would have been even more tragic. So, as you said, there's more to come from China, so we'll have to just, every time they send something up, it's a matter of just waiting for it to fall again, which would be disappointing. Anyway, what's this about a company offering a seat on a flight into space? What's this all about? It's an auction or something?
Oh, sure is, yeah. This is something quite unusual. Look, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are the two front runners here. And what we've got is a clash of people's personalities. Two of the richest men in the world, and they've both got the same ideal. But one of these is certainly interesting. When you look at what Jeff Bezos is doing, he's got a company that's now got a spacecraft called New Shepard. Now, he's named it New Shepard after the astronaut Alan Shepard. It's 60 years since Alan Shepard made his historic flight, first American into space. Now, Jeff Bezos is putting people up on the space station. He wants to fly them up there. Most of them paid the money for it, but there's one extra seat on the flight. That's going up for a bid. That bid is on June 12. It's a live auction, and the winning bid will be donated to his foundation, his Blue Origin Foundation. Whoever does put that money forward and get that seat goes for a free ride up to the space station.
Wow. Dave, are you going to put your hand up for this one?
Be out of this world to win that, wouldn't it?
Oh, are you putting your hand up for it?
No, I'm a chicken. I don't think I'd like to do that. But these two have been arguing backwards and forwards on social media.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, $202 million that I think Bezos is worth, and poor old Elon, he's behind there a long way, $173 billion.
Yeah.
What Bezos doesn't like about what Elon Musk is doing is that NASA have been showing him a little bit of extra favoritism.
Ah.
And he's now got the contract to take the astronauts back to the space station, and you know, Bezos wants part of the action. He's going to take it through courts and maybe try and get something done legally to try and stop that. He's just looking for a level playing field, which you can't argue with. But certainly, you know, it's on now. But I like that. I think that sort of competition, that healthy competition, whether you're backbiting each other or not on social media, that drives progress, it drives industries, and it makes you push a little bit harder to do things.
If you're going to do it, keep it fair, David. That's what you've got to do.
The aeroplane industry probably went through the same process.
Yeah. Anyway, did you see Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live that's been bandied around the internet?
Was it really?
He's not that funny. Anyway, hey, what's this? We talked about this a few weeks ago, this wine that went into space. It's now on sale for a hefty price.
Oh, I knew you'd pick that one. Yeah. That's a good story. I wouldn't mind a sip of this myself, you know. You ever talk to a wine buff? If you ever did, you know they talk a language you can't understand.
Yeah, bouquets.
They talk in palates and maturities and, you know, flavours and gosh knows what else. Well, the story of this is that there were 12 bottles of this special wine sent up to the space station. I think we talked about that a little while ago, French wine. And there were one of them's worth, each bottle's worth 10 grand. How you get that, I don't know. But this wine was up there outside the space station and brought back here. Now, they've opened it up, and these wine connoisseurs, these buffs, have all had a taste of it and claimed that it's changed, you know, the maturity, the body of it, the palate, the flavour. Whether it's, you know, psychosomatic or not, I don't know whether it is fooling themselves. Who really knows? But people out there who know wine and what wine would certainly put this in their collection. What a talking point that would be.
Yeah.
Now, that's going up for auction. That's going up. Christie's are going to auction that bottle off. They've had it with some right around the world, and guess how much they expect this to sell for?
Oh, close to $1 million. Yeah. No one's actually opened it to taste it yet, have they? We don't know what sort of damage has been done in space.
No. I think they could drop the price a few hundred sail for that. But you wouldn't want to drop the bottle on your way home, would you?
No. I don't think you'd even want to open it, mate. It'd want to be there as a talking point for the rest of time, you'd think.
You know, you pour a bit of that into a glass, I think, around a table of people who don't know about it. Just give them an old cheap Coles or Woolies sample. I don't think you know the difference, would you, really?
No, you wouldn't, mate. It's all the same to me. Anyway, all right, David, that's been great. Check more at davidrenicky.com. There's some really cool stories on there too. And if you want information about how to handle your telescope in the night sky, you're the man, aren't you, really?
Yeah, we do that. And we also do home visits here for those folk who live near where I live. Not much good for where you are, but we're getting a lot of business out of it, and people are getting more attuned to the night sky. We're finding a lot of inquiries coming through for telescopes. It's all on my website, davidrenicky.com, davidrenicky.com.
Well, when you do home visits, if someone's got a telescope, you'll come and show them how to direct it properly, or you'll bring one for them to have a play with?
Yeah, well, we show them how to use the one I've got. It's a fairly large telescope. But in the main, a lot of them have bought a telescope and don't quite know how to use it. So we'll spend a bit of time and just set it up for them. They're not really hard to do. I give them about 20 minutes tuition. They're pretty well right after that, you know. And if anyone does want to buy a telescope, it's a free service I have. I'll scout around and I'll find the best deal for them, one that suits them, you know.
David, that sounds excellent for those that want to get to know the night sky even better. Till next week, mate.
Talk to you then. Bye.